What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's Jerry. Ghost of Dave Kustan is hanging around here somewhere. And that means that this is Short Stuff. And in fact, Dave's not a ghost. I'm mistaken, Chuck. He is a tooth fairy.
That's right. Dave is very much alive. Don't worry, everyone. Mm-hmm. Short Stuff producer Dave is not a ghost.
No, you could astrally project yourself and still be what I would consider basically a ghost. I think being dead is overstated as a reason for being a ghost.
It's overrated.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Tooth Fairy. And the reason I thought of this is because my daughter has not lost a tooth yet. She's coming up on 6 years old with those baby teeth. And I'm just waiting. Like, it could have happened by now, and it can happen at any time. And I was like, all right, I got to get up on the latest research on the story that I'm going to need to tell, the lie that I'm going to pound into her brain, and like how much money these kids get these days.
A lot. It's like,
how much did you get? I got like a quarter,
I think. I got a quarter, too, which apparently is like 1930s level.
I know.
I also got a quarter for giving up my pacifier, and only later did I find out, like, my sisters had gotten things like an Easy Bake Oven or something like that, and I got bought off for a quarter. I'm still, to this day, a little upset about that.
Now, how old were you when you gave it up?
Like 12, 13.
It all depends on the kid. My daughter gave up her pacifier really early, so she didn't even know what money was, you know?
Oh, there you go. That's the way to do it.
She just didn't like it.
Yeah. That was actually 13 was approaching the age where I also would have traded my pacifier for a pack of smokes.
Right.
You're just like, give me one more year.
You got to suck on something.
Right. I never connected the two.
So the Tooth Fairy is pretty interesting in that since people had children all over the world through antiquity, there seems to be weird little stories here and there about traditions and things that you would do with the tooth. It seems like it was never just like, well, that happened, let me just toss it out of here. You know, it could have been some little ceremony, could have put it in a fire. But this was not like the Tooth Fairy as we know it.
No, but it is there, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but there's rituals all over the world of what to do. Like, it's not like it just goes unnoticed. The Tooth Fairy is one of the most all-American supernatural beings there is. And as a matter
American
of fact,
lies.
not even old. It's not even an old one. Apparently, the Tooth Fairy that is going to eventually come to visit your daughter, that is running around this very night handing out dollars for teeth.
Home invading is
basically sure. Although you could make a really strong case in court that putting the tooth under the pillow could be construed as an invitation into your home.
Yeah.
But that tooth fairy, that particular being, that entity, is from basically the mid-20th century America, and is very new and very young for being a supernatural entity.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of references. There was one from 1908 from the Chicago Daily Tribune in an editorial that valued a contribution from the tooth fairy at a nickel. Mm-hmm. I think in 27. There was a short play with a tooth fairy in it from Esther Watkins Arnold.
Oh, okay. I saw there was also a kid's book from the 20s that was an English version of an 18th century French tooth fairy kind of thing, but the tooth fairy was a mouse.
Okay.
So in the 20s.
Mice will come into play, though.
The tooth fairy, like, really kind of hit the zeitgeist in the 20s, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay. And then apparently the whole thing broke wide open with a Collier's Magazine article in May of 1949.
Yeah, so 1949. I mean, that's not that long ago that parents have been lying to their kids about this home invader who would leave money to avoid prosecution.
That's right. I mean, it is kind of weird. Like, is there any explanation that you've run across so far as to why the tooth fairy wants teeth? That's something that no one ever taught me.
No. And, I looked a lot of different places, and there's just not a lot out there. It's pretty interesting. There's no weird origin story. I mean, we could make one up if you want to kick that thing off.
Let's do that. Let's just take the Cabbage Patch Kid's origin story and just replace it with Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, or maybe the Tooth Fairy builds this fantasy land out of children's teeth.
Okay.
Sounds horrific.
It does. It sounds like the teeth monster from, what was that? There was a weird Canadian TV show.
What?
That was basically
Schitt's
based.
Creek?
No. That was weird in a different way. I will come up with the name of it, but it was basically a bunch of urban legends that they blew out into an actual narrative over the course of a season. It was pretty interesting, but there was a monster made of children's teeth, and it was creepy. I'll send it to you. You can show it to your daughter.
All right. Well, let's take a little break, and we'll come back and talk about kind of some of these strange rituals and traditions all over the world right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey friends, if you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. Like, what are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood the best? And why can't all this information just be in one place?
Yeah, well, now it is, everybody, on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools, and their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family.
It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework. All right. So we mentioned that depending on where you are in the world throughout history, there have been these interesting traditions when it comes to your children losing their first teeth in a lot of different countries, Afghanistan, Russia, Mexico, New Zealand. There is a mouse or a rat involved, whether or not you put it in a box for a mouse or put it in a little mouse hole like Tom and Jerry style. And I think the whole thing there was a wish that the tooth would grow back to be as strong as a rat's tooth or a mouse's tooth.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, and that's called the transference wish that an anthropologist might call sympathetic magic, which I think is a pretty good band name.
Though wishing that your child's tooth grows back like a rat's tooth, that would be one of those careful what you wish for kind of situations, if you ask me.
That's true.
Imagine.
What else do people do?
Well, supposedly 9 things, including everything from throwing the tooth into the sun, which that's got to be hard to do.
Not possible.
Much more easy is to throw it into a fire.
Sure, like that.
Between the legs, Huey Lewis style.
A little weird.
Onto or over the roof of your house.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Asian countries do this.
Okay, so one of the things I saw was that a lot of these rituals, pre-tooth fairy rituals, were often wrapped up or tied into burial rituals of that same culture. So does that mean that there are cultures out there that throw their they're deceased onto the roof of the house, you think? Maybe it's like a sky burial kind of thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I was being funny at first and then pulled it out into something really thought-provoking at the end.
What else do people do? I think a lot of people bury them.
Right.
Like, and that kind of makes or hide them. And that kind of maybe that's where we got under the pillow. I don't know.
And then this one probably has nothing to do with the dead or the deceased. But there's one where the mother or the kid or you make a poor animal swallow the tooth.
Oh, God.
And talk about a rite of passage, because that's why all of these cultures have a ritual surrounding the loss of the first tooth, because that's basically the first rite of passage any kid cognizantly goes through. And so, you know, cultures tend to make a big deal about it. But imagine your culture having you swallow your baby's tooth and then you pass it as the mom. Like,
sure.
That's got to provoke some sort of, you know, a mixed bag of emotions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. For some reason, that was the first thing that came to mind when I saw that moms sometimes swallow baby teeth.
Tooth poop.
Basically. Or poop tooth. Yep. We'll just keep going on from that little vignette.
So it seems like when it really became the tooth fairy that we think of in America, it came about at the same time that Disney was putting out movies like Pinocchio and Cinderella, two movies that each featured these benevolent fairies who granted wishes. And I think it may have just been the public consciousness, and we borrowed, like we said, from other cultures that maybe buried their teeth or hid their teeth into the under the pillow thing. And an exchange for money.
Yeah, and the money thing still seems confounding, like a fairy coming for your tooth. That's pretty cute. And that makes sense that Disney would have influenced it based on the time. But the money thing supposedly dates back to 12th century Norse custom, which was that you would pay a tooth fee to the kid who lost their first baby tooth. And, you know, rather than them putting it under the pillow or there being any supernatural being who came to collect it, you just hand the kids some money or whatever, tell them to go away now. So I think those combined to form this modern incarnation of the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. And what's the going rate these days?
From what I saw, it's about $3.70, which means there's some weird parents out there who are right at the median who leave $3.70 under their kid's pillow in exchange for the tooth. But that also means that there's plenty of parents out there who are leaving like $10. You know, who are skewing the average upwards. And don't email me, because I know median is not the same thing as average.
I guess Emily and I need to do some soul searching to find out what the value of this tooth is, because it's, you know, it can also be an opportunity to teach, you know, kids have no idea what things cost. They think everything is free. So it can be an opportunity to teach them
about disappointment.
About disappointment. No, about the value of money and, you know, what this might buy, or maybe you can save it or save part of it. I don't know. But the introduction to money and income kind of starts with the Tooth Fairy. It's pre-allowance.
Yeah. I read that there was from a folklorist that said, like, the reason why this Tooth Fairy is an American invention and gives you money in exchange for something is you're teaching your kids capitalism. It would just make total sense.
Yeah, I mean, she's got piggy banks, so we'll put change in there occasionally, but that's about it as far as money goes. She thinks, you know, everything costs nothing.
Well, you can teach her the value of a human tooth now, and she'll go around the rest of her life thinking she can get about $3.70 per tooth if she is, you know, really tries at it.
I think if I tried to do $3.70 on the nose, Emily would just be like, "Are you kidding me? Just put a fiver in there."
That'd be hilarious. Hey, report back when it happens, will you?
Yeah, and also want to quickly shout out Janet Varney, one of our good friends here in the industry, a podcaster and one of the co-founders of SF Sketchfest.
And host of the JV Club.
Yeah, JV Club. Great, great show. I think had no tooth when I was first a guest of Janet's JV Club live at Sketchfest. And when I got home, she sent me, and Janet is one to just send people funny gifts like this. She sent me a little Tooth Fairy pillow.
That is very sweet. Yeah, because you can get an actual pillow, right? That's special for
it's got a little
the
pocket.
Tooth Fairy. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the Tooth Fairy, unless you got anything else, do you?
I got nothing else except 3 fake teeth.
There you go. You can get some money for that. Almost a little over $10, Chuck.
Aaron Cooper would pay $15.
Yeah, there you go. And since Chuck said Aaron Cooper, then of course that means Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.